Welcome to a conservative news outlet that doesn't lose £35 million a year. Our losses are barely even half of that. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon, and this is Non-Censored. Hello and welcome to Non-Censored, the podcast that wraps up all the best bits from my very real daily radio show into one easy-to-digest highlights package. I'm joined, as ever, by my producer, Martin, and what a show we have for you this week, eh, Martin?
Oh, yes, indeed. We've got Jeremy Hunt talking about the budget, Ishan Akbar talking about the US election primaries, and the new MP for Rochdale, George Galloway. But before all that, I must say thank you to our new Patreons, Jennifer Watson, Carol Jones, Shane McGill, and Robert Harvey, who all signed up to support us directly and make it possible to pay our guests at patreon.com/non-censored. They, like all our earlier subscribers, get early ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content like longer videos and more podcasts. This week, there's a Time for Questions episode and a behind-the-scenes episode of The Rest is Non-Censored for top-tier Patreons.
So go to patreon.com/non-censored and sign up as soon as you can. But anyway, on to this week's show, and we'll start with newly elected threat to democracy, George Galloway, who joined us to talk about his illegitimate election to Parliament. Let's take a listen. Well, I'm both excited and terrified to say that we have George Galloway on the show. Thank you for coming on, George.
Well, indeed. And let me put it to you, Miss Swindon, that your tendentious and ignominious and reprehensible guests, for which you have been renowned, will no doubt be lying subservient and loquacious as they view somebody who may be capable of answering your questions rather than merely containing them.
Okay, George, I don't really understand what you said, but it felt like a personal attack on my guests and on my interviewing
If it is vindictive personal attacks that you wish for, then maybe you should be interviewing the leader of your own party, who has vindictively attacked me no fewer than 17 times within the last 9 hours since I was elected, nonetheless,
talking about
which is something he cannot say for himself. Maybe if you wish to pursue vindictive attacks, you should look at some of the people with which you seem to be concomitantly, luxuriously in accordance with, such as Mrs. Mordaunt and Miss Badenoch.
Right.
You are indeed three cheeks of the same deformed buttock.
No, there's no need for that kind of language, George. We don't need to bring buttocks into it. It's just not on.
Uh-huh. I've got to say, George, I would like to start with a compliment. It's not what I usually do with guests, but I'm very impressed by your vocabulary. And if you do have a thesaurus that you could recommend, I would gladly take that.
Well, unfortunately, you're speaking to somebody who recognises both the ignorance and the faux sarcastic lines which you purport to claim may be indeed possibly hilarious, but the British people will no doubt decide that that is not the case. But continue with your humorous thesaurus insides.
No, I mean, I genuinely do enjoy a long word. We've had a lot of smaller words on the show of late, a lot of four-letter words, and I like to try and keep it clean, a little more highbrow. So I do appreciate it. Also like your hat.
Okay, stop complimenting George, Martin. It's not needed.
I'm sorry. I don't mean it. I don't agree with his principles, but I think he's got a lot of...
Take the compliments in the manner in which they were no doubt presented and shall look forward to the ignominious oblivion into dissent that equally, no doubt, will follow your asides.
Right, I'm now regretting our decision to fire the George Galloway interpreter that we were going to bring on with us, but we'll do our best. George, you touched on Rishi Sunak's attacks against you, as you call them. Now, quite soon after your win in Rochdale, he warned us all against mob rule and extremism. And I have to say, are you the extremist here? Should we be worried about you?
Well, if it is mob rule that he fears, there was indeed a mob who elected me no more than 1 week ago. Something which did not happen to Mr. Sunak to propel him in his unnecessary and completely unjustified post as Prime Minister of this great country. Where is the mob rule there? Is it the mob of the people at the ballot box that he fears? Indeed, if it is, then I believe he is right to do so.
So your mob is a good mob. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Well, they are a mob that has voted across Rochdale and indeed would have voted across the rest of the galaxy had they been offered the opportunity.
I've got to say, George, it's strange for me to sort of comment on an interview as it's going, but this is very much like the audio equivalent of reading someone sending you a text in all caps. It's a very sort of bombastic approach that you're employing. And to be honest, I feel a little scared.
He's a famous orator.
Well, I would proffer to you, sir, whether you would consider it bombastic for the imperialist, extraneous bombardments of Mr. Biden and Mr. Obama as they seek to obliterate entire regions of the globe with their armaments. Is that not bombastic? Is that bombastic enough for you?
Yes, that's about as
much
bump.
Let me be clear and let me put it to you.
Right.
Oh, God.
Full complimentary, Martin.
Yes.
And rather scared and intimidated, Harriet. You are indeed right to be intimidated.
Right.
Oh, dear.
For Rochdale is no doubt the beginnings and not the end. Just as the peasants of Wallachia in the 15th century rose in mighty combat against the feudal barons that sought to tyrannize and dictatorialize the entire region.
Right, so
just as the Americans under Mr. Johnson and Mr. Nixon sought to terrorize the legitimate complaints of the Viet Cong as they sought no more than to rule their own territory. They may have felt intimidated within their first moments, but let Rochdale stand alongside Saigon and Havana as the beginnings of those places which have overthrown
Mr. Galloway,
the tyranny which you seem to not be intimidated by.
Absolutely terrifying. George, are you gathering an army? Should we be worried? Should we be locking our doors? I would like some heads up on what is happening here and to this country at your very hands.
The army of which I am the legitimate leader is one which begins in Rochdale. But just as the revolutionaries of Russia spread across the territorial regions from Petrograd to St. Petersburg to Kazakhstan and to Ekaterinburg and across the world, so Rochdale shall merely be the beginning of the army that spreads to Blackburn and Accrington and Chorley.
Right. Well,
never trusted Blackburn.
Yes, you did mention that you're hoping to make Rochdale great again, which will come as wonderful news to the residents of Rochdale. I was just wondering if you could just give us a couple of perhaps examples of the things that you might be implementing. Will there be additional drinking fountains?
Because, George, I don't want to be rude, but you've got a history of becoming the MP of places and then not doing anything.
If you are to refer to my activities...
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
...in my previous incumbencies as members of Parliament, elected by the people of Bethnal Green and Bradford, as doing nothing. Well, I put it to you, Miss Swindon.
Langley Swindon.
Was it not me who has been re-elected once again in Rochdale on account of the efforts that I made to celebrate Bethnal Green, where I was previously MP. And indeed, I shall be celebrating my tenure as Member of Parliament for Rochdale by spending all of my time in Bethnal Green, where I was previously the MP.
Well, that's great, George. I think, Producer Martin, unless you've got any questions, I think we should get rid of him quite quickly.
Well, I had a few more questions, mainly about where he got his hats and whether he has a selection of different items that he's going to roll out during his time.
It's about important questions, and I have an important question to end on.
Yeah.
George, I don't know if you've been watching, that there's a new series of Celebrity Big Brother out. Obviously, you went on, you were very lovable. Everyone was blown away by your lovable personality. And I just wondered if you had any tips for celebrities going into the Big Brother house.
Are you intending to be one of its contestants yourself?
Well, maybe one day. I don't know. We'll see. I'd never say never.
I would say this to the contestants currently encapsulated within the Big Brother house. Let me put it to you, contestants. Your ignominious, lascivious droolings as you creep around the confines of the logement that you appear to be incarcerated within will be no match for the extraordinary, seditious and subversive and historical crawlings that I made in feline nature when I was within the house.
Great. Well, that's wonderful, George. It's been an experience having you on the show. I hope you won't come on again, because it's been scary. But well done on your winning, and have a...
Furthermore, I was promised the refreshments of a cup of tea and a biscuit, and yet none have been forthcoming.
We had some Biscoff biscuits, but you didn't want those. So I don't know what more you want us to do.
I merely sought for nothing more than the humble custard cream.
Yeah, that's on Producer Martin.
That's really fine. I'll sort that out next time. I'll have a pack sent over to your house. It's not a problem. Sorry, George. Very sorry.
Thank you. Now, it was budget week this week, and the news doesn't get bigger than that, does it?
Well, we have put it second in the running order.
Yes, why is that?
Well, there are a few factual issues that I thought might be less obvious if we didn't put it up front.
Well, maybe if you didn't talk, there'd be fewer inaccuracies. Anyway, let's take a listen to what Jeremy had to say and ignore Producer Martin. Now, it's always good to get a grown-up on the show, and we do have a grown-up on the show. It is Jeremy Hunt. Hello, Mr. Hunt.
Hello, Harriet. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Now, it's a really exciting week. Everybody, every year, they get so excited when it's budget week. I'm sure Producer Martin's got kids. They probably couldn't sleep last night, could they, Producer Martin?
Oh,
they were so excited.
They were running around. They both got their little red suitcases out. They were saying, Mummy, Daddy, please let us open the suitcase. I said, no, you can open a small suitcase.
Yeah, that's my job, to open the suitcase.
It is Jeremy's job.
Budget.
We wouldn't be leaving children to open that suitcase. That's why we won't let Labour be opening the suitcase.
It's quite a serious job he has, Producer Martin. You can't trivialise it.
I wouldn't. I think mainly my children just like dressing up in business wear. That's their thing. Good luck to them, I say.
Right.
But they won't be trying to take any jobs from the government.
Right. Well, that's good to know.
So, Jeremy, you must feel the pressure, all these people excited about the budget, asking you about what it includes. Do you just keep your head down and produce what you can?
Yeah, we keep our heads down, our ears closed, and we sort of do what continues what we what we want and what we like to do. This budget, as you may have heard, two pence off national insurance contributions. Now, I know that might not sound like much, but Martin, for example, you probably earn about 20k a year.
Oh, that's a very generous estimate.
So you would have a pay increase of £260.
£260. I mean, that is great. That is, what is that? That's
about 2 pints of milk, maybe. I'm
well,
not sure.
Yeah,
I mean, but Jeremy, what do you say? You talk about the 2p cut to national insurance. What do you say to the critics that say this is to the detriment of public services?
Well, I don't think it's very good engaging in negative talk around the budget when it's such
very
a jubilant
true.
Day of yes. joy and red suitcases and
yes,
children wearing their business attire.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I hope now that the next government, whoever it may be, I hope it doesn't make them look bad what we've done now. I really hope that's not the case.
That would be very hard, wouldn't it?
Because I'm sure it will be.
If things that you've done has a direct result on you know, a new government coming in and going, we're surrounded by shit, what do we do?
Yes, no, this is not, we're not in it for for political gain, for political games, or even financial gain personally. No. We're doing it for the good of the people.
Well,
interesting.
That's really beautiful.
I mean, it should probably be flagged up that there was a Labour policy that was adopted and implemented in your budget. That's quite an interesting move for the Conservatives.
Yes, swapping the tax regime for the non-DOMs.
Yeah.
Yes, well, I would argue that it's not Labour's policy anymore because we have adopted it.
Right.
That's our policy now.
Puts Labour in quite a tricky position, doesn't it? Because they've already been accused of not having enough policies.
Now you've taken one of theirs.
You've taken one of theirs away.
Yes, I'd argue the only one. We've taken the only one, the only discernible policy.
Right.
See, Producer Martin, this is why the Tories are the best, because they grab what they want and they run with it.
Well, I do see that. But, I mean, I would raise the concern that, are you worried about...
upsetting the non-DOMs.
Rishi's fine with it. Is that what you're asking? I don't know.
Yeah, well, yes, I guess that is. Yes.
No, I think that's all fine, because I think everybody's changed their mind on that. I don't know if you saw the delightful interview with Rishi and his wife on the sofa.
Oh, yes. What a wonderful couple.
And they know what washing machines are.
Yeah.
They seemed really, you know, like human and yes. not poorly drawn AI robot characters.
Exactly. They seemed very Dom, actually. They didn't seem non-Dom at all. So I think that's all fine. And if anybody doesn't like it, then maybe it was Labour's policy.
Right.
That's very good. I mean, that's the kind of tough talking we need, isn't it, really going through.
Are you concerned that perhaps Labour might have a reprisal, that they might steal some Conservative policies and implement them just to get their own back?
Well, I've never experienced concern, actually, in life. But I don't think that Labour would take on any of our policies. And if they did, we'd probably switch ours to make them better. Because whatever Labour do, regardless of whether on paper it seems like it would improve things, it wouldn't, because they'd be doing it. But if we're doing it, the thing that they were doing from us, then it would be fine. If that
very
makes sense. I know the economy is quite difficult to understand.
Yes, it is. It is hard to understand. But that's its beauty, isn't it? I mean, what is money? I don't really know.
No, and nobody really does. Keir Starmer said the national credit card is maxed out. And we don't have a national credit card. I've not seen a card. We have a briefcase, but not a card.
Yes. And do you keep
very
just...
very poorly researched on Keir Starmer's part.
Embarrassing.
A question for, I think, some of our listeners, probably the most pressing question when it comes down to that budget time of year, is what is in the suitcase? Is it just cash, or is it like one of those things in Pulp Fiction where you sort of open it up and there's a glow?
Yes.
And you don't really, you know, no one else gets to know what's in there. Is it gold? Is there a small IOU from one of the previous chancellors?
And who sees the contents?
Well, now I...
Because sometimes, isn't it you with those suitcases, they open it up and only the one person who opens it can see it, and everyone else just gets to see his face as he looks at it.
Yes.
So there are actually several different briefcases, and they all contain
one inside another.
The economy. Yes.
Oh,
I see. It's a babushka situation.
Wow.
Which is why there's a lot of Russian money in it.
Yes.
But you can only look in one. One chancellor gets to look in one. You get a bit of an insight.
Why you've had so many chancellors in recent years?
Just to get through all the briefcases, yeah.
That's great. That makes a lot more sense now.
That does. I mean, we did wonder about that.
Yeah.
Now, Jeremy, I did want to broach with you. There has been a poll that came out this week that implied that support for the Conservatives is incredibly low. I think they're saying it's at its lowest in 45 years. And I just wondered what you make of all of this.
Well, I think you can look at it as a strategy. Numbers going up and down, as we know in the economy, can mean different things.
Yes.
Inflation going up, inflation going down. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Asset prices rising. Yes, that could be the sign of a healthy economy. It also could be the sign of all the money circulating in the ultra rich and not going down, you know, to the bottom, and trickle down economics not really working. I don't think that's true. So I would say that this low number doesn't necessarily mean bad. It could mean it's going down to again come up.
Well, I mean, it does mean that there's just fewer people that want to vote for you. I think that's
or
what it
fewer
does.
People who want to engage in divisive polling. Maybe that's
right.
Where the issue lies.
People it's just Tory voters who couldn't get out of bed to do the survey. It's
because
different.
We're busy running the economy and opening several different briefcases.
Well, the briefcase thing, I do understand.
Have
that
you ever engaged in a poll, Martin? Because I've never done a poll. Have you, Harriet?
No, I've never done.
I do sometimes like to click on them if you know there's a pop up and it asks for my survey. They're doing a survey. They want some feedback. I like to provide feedback.
This is interesting. The lowest earner on the podcast is also the one who would engage in the poll. So it's going to skew the numbers, and I know numbers.
Well, okay, I suppose that is fair.
Jeremy Hunt, I have a theory for you. You don't have to tell me if I'm right.
Very good.
But if we look at when poor Theresa May...
Oh, yes.
...back when it looked like the polls were high, so she said, I'm going to call an election. And then Jeremy Corbyn swept and took all of them, and everyone thought, silly Theresa May. Now, are you trying to lead Labour into the same trap?
Well, let's just say this, Harriet. I'll talk to you off air.
Oh,
okay.
I like
that's
it.
Not actually as useful because we need to. We need content, Jeremy. So if you could just say whatever you can say, off air, on air, that it would make for a better radio
Martin,
show.
My friendships are more important than my content.
Really.
Providing.
Wish that wasn't the case, but okay, no, that's fair. That's fair enough.
Now,
it's
last question, Jeremy, I know you're a very busy man.
Really, actually. Today's quite quiet.
Right, okay. Well, I wanted to ask you about the... is there going to be an election on May the 2nd? It just seems very soon, and some people, not naming any names, you know, have books coming out, which is sort of completely built on the idea that the election is going to be much later in the year. And I just sort of wanted to get your feedback on that, really.
Well, I suppose on that specific thing, if the person writing the book is a competent political scientist, I'm sure that wouldn't be too big an issue and wouldn't change much.
Right.
Rishi did not confirm nor deny, and I think he's still getting to grips with the appliances and making the bed in the house. So he's got a lot on. I've got a lot on. What we're trying to do is improve the country. We're not going back to square one with Labour. We'll do an election when an election is necessary to be done. And if Labour decide an election is necessary to be done and we think that that's the right thing to do, we will then do it. And that means Labour hasn't decided to do it.
Brilliant and completely clear. Well, as I said to begin with, great to get a grown-up on the show. Jeremy Hunt, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, if you're finding the adverts in this show annoying, remember you can skip them by going to patreon.com/noncensored, where you'll get episodes without them and you'll be supporting the show. Finally, Ishan Akbar had a hot and spicy takeaway about the Republican presidential primary in America, which is getting more and more exciting by the week.
Is it? I feel it's been predictable for a while now.
Yes, but we're now formally a step or two closer to the next inevitable riot. Anyway, here's Ishan. Hello, Ishan Akbar. How are we this week?
I'm very, very well, thank you. I've had a lovely week, very good solid protein intake, and I've drunk more water, so I'm feeling good about myself.
That's really good. Very healthy, very good to drink water. I just drink espresso martinis myself, but that famously has water in it. So, Ishan, tell us, what's going on with you this week? What is your hot and spicy takeaway of the week?
Well, as you know, I have been following the American Republican presidential candidate elections with great interest this year because,
yes,
of course, I have some very literal skin in the game. As you know, I am a man of the Asian persuasion or Asian persuasion.
You can say that. We can't.
We're not allowed to say that. Well, no, because we're Caucasian, aren't we?
You're Caucasian. Said you wouldn't
be. That's why we can't.
How rude.
In any case, there are two candidates that I'm particularly interested in. Vivek Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley. Now, you might hear the word Nikki Haley and go, hold on, Nikki Haley, that doesn't sound very Asian. But her maiden name is actually Randhawa. She's got like an Asian background. She's got
An
Indian mother or father. I'm not quite sure which one, but there's one of them. In any case, Vivek Ramaswamy pulled out of the presidential Republican candidate elections on the 15th of January. And it looks like at this juncture, Nikki Haley is also going to pull out. In the last elections, she only had the votes of 89 delegates, whilst our Donald Trump is leading the charge with 995.
Oh, well done, Donald.
He's so very good. He's such a good electoral operator, very much the George Galloway of American politics.
Oh, great.
Right. And who would you say was the Rochdale of American politics? I mean, where is his base going to be?
I would say Idaho.
Idaho is the Rochdale of the United States. Right. Okay. Interesting.
So what was interesting is yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is touted to be Donald Trump's potential VP candidate, that's vice president, candidate, basically came out and said, look, Nikki Haley, I think now's the time for you to step back and just tell everyone to start voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah,
and she was talking to, of course, our Princess Diana in the news world, Emily Maitlis.
No, she's a Marxist, Ishan. She's not Princess Diana.
Okay. Who's she, Princess Anne?
Yes.
Okay. The Princess Anne of the journalistic world, Emily Maitlis, who at first had a very nice conversation with her about her potential vice presidential candidacy, and then wanted to probe Marjorie Taylor Greene as to the fact that the Republican Party seemed to attract a lot of, particularly Donald Trump, a lot of conspiracy theorists, and asked, can we talk about Jewish space lasers? To which Marjorie Taylor Greene responded, why don't you go and talk about Jewish space lasers? And why don't you off?
Oh, dear. Okay. Well,
brilliant.
No, come on.
That's
no.
What we need. We need more of that sort of talk in our country.
I'm not sure we do.
We do. We keep having politicians who pussyfoot around. They don't tell those journalists where to stick it. Mm-hmm. And really, people should start. I think good on her. What a great precedent to set.
Now, I think, Ishan, you know, this is your hot and spicy take. It's a little too spicy for me.
Okay.
If you're going to encourage that kind of spicy talk. That is hot stuff. Too hot for radio,
very
in my opinion.
Talk.
My hot, spicy takeaway fundamentally is, in summary, is this. I think we need more politicians to tell our journalists and radio producers to off.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Okay, Harriet, I would like to remind you that you are a journalist.
Yeah.
Although that's in inverted commas, that I mean, you're encouraging people to tell you to.
I'm one of the nice ones. They won't need to tell me that because I do my job properly.
Mm.
I do my job properly. I stick up for the government. I'm not like one of these bad journalists who spend the whole time criticising them. And
like
those
who?
Are the ones that need to be told to F off.
Which journalists?
All of them. pretty much, Ishan. I don't know if you've known this, but there is a heavy bias in this country in our journalism to the left wing.
Right.
You've got The Guardian, you've got The Independent, you've got The Daily Express, you've got The Mirror, you've got Spiked, you've got The Daily Telegraph.
Oh, wait
you've
a minute.
Unheard. You've no, got I think Talk TV, all of them left wing bias.
GB News?
GB News is the only one. It's the underdog. And us.
Right. Sky News?
Yes, very true. Sky News, left wing bias.
I feel like it's a little uncivilized. Aren't we better than this? Surely people should be able to speak passionately, of course, and honestly. But
are you saying that Marjorie couldn't stick up for herself? You saying
quite the opposite. I think perhaps she should just articulate herself a little better. Perhaps, you know, learn some other words.
Why don't you just...
Wow. That is, you stopped short of it there, but it still had the same impact. I could see.
That was quite a non-censored moment. I think that's going to go in the year rundown of shocking moments.
I'm not happy with what happened there. I think we're going to have a decaf.
I just wanted to test.
That's made me
decaf cappuccino to talk this over. Actually,
that's made me rethink some things. I'm not sure people should be able to tell journalists and producers to f off, because that made me feel unsafe and sad.
Ishan, I don't say this lightly. I encourage you on your health journey, but I think you're off your tits on protein. That's what's happened here. You've had too many chicken nuggets, and now you are a bro. You've turned into a bro, haven't you?
Oh, dear.
You can't say chicken nuggets in 2024, can you?
Why can't you have chicken nuggets? Nuggets are the most delicious part of the chicken.
It's actually the tenders.
Oh, yes. No, I think they're located in a similar
part. Are you talking about sex?
No, just the anatomy of a chicken, of fowl.
Best. Bits of chicken.
No, they're not fowl, Martin. They're little birds. And they're very sweet.
Right, okay. Well, Ishan, if you are determined to bring public debate down to the level of the gutter, then if that's the hill that you want to die on, so be it. But personally,
Marjorie Taylor Greene elevated political discourse by asking Emily Maitlis to respectfully F off. We don't need to talk about Jewish space lasers, okay?
She did make some outrageous claims about Jewish space lasers.
I would like to know more about them.
That is quite the title, though, isn't it? Jewish space lasers. Say it five times really fast.
Jewish space lasers, Jewish space lasers, Jewish space lasers, Jewish space lasers. Jewish space lasers.
Martin?
I'm concerned about saying, anything to do with any religion in case I offend someone. So I'd rather not, but I will, I'll say Squirrel Brigade.
No,
that's
just a
tricky
Producer little... Martin, you need to stop, because I think we're walking into a trap. I think Ishan is getting us to say Jewish space lasers enough time so that a Jewish space lader appears in the mirror behind me and comes out and lasers us all to death.
Lasers you all in a very Jewish way.
Well,
I think this has been a sobering segment Hot and Spicy Takeaway of the Week.
I think we should all go away and just maybe think about what's happened here.
Because I don't want to see either of you for a while.
It's a sad day for the non-censored team.
Why?
It's been hard. And I'm
things were said.
I think it's best to leave it there. And Ishan Akbar, I'll see you next time. And Producer Martin, you're still here. So
there we go. Should we just say Islamic ray guns five times?
Oh, God, that's not... No. How does that make it better? That's not...
Well, that's it for this episode. We'll be back next week. So in the meantime, do like, subscribe the episode, tell your friends, follow the Out of Context Non-Censored Blue Sky account, and keep those questions coming to noncensoredpodcast@gmail.com. And join us on patreon.com/noncensored to get ad-free episodes, longer videos, bonus podcasts, and much, much more. With thanks to Rosie Holt, Brendan Murphy, Ishan Akbar, Mark Steele, Will C. Bagmontefiore, and Ed Morrish. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon, and we'll be back next week with more Non-Censored.